How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 169 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Thursday morning episode today. I've actually already recorded it. I recorded it with Keith Pompey, who hosts Locked On Sixers. He's a 76ers beat writer. We recorded it like in Chesapeake Energy Arena following the game. The Thunder just beat the 76ers 122-97. It was a game that was really never close. Thunder ran all over them, played pretty well. The Sixers did not play well, out-rebounded them like crazy. Westbrook had a triple-double where he didn't miss a shot and didn't miss a free throw. First player in NBA history to do that. We talk about all that stuff. We talk about Thunder perspective, Sixers perspective. One thing I do want to say before we go on to my conversation with Keith, tomorrow's going to be a special episode. I am having a player on. I'm having Josh Huestis, actually. We recorded it Wednesday afternoon at the Thunder practice facility, running that for Friday morning's episode. For those of you who don't know, if you want to do a little research before this episode, you can go to Josh's timeline where he is, I feel like I can say he's obsessed with me. He's completely obsessed with me. All he does is tweet at me. We talk about that. We talk about him coming up through the Thunder organization. We get some good Enes Kanter stories, some good Russell Westbrook stories. We talk about him growing up in Montana, and we obviously talk about his, it's all just through his unbelievable and shocking obsession with just a normal beat writer who covers the team. And you can come back tomorrow, Friday morning. That episode's going to be up, and you know how podcasts work. It's going to be up forever. For now, though, let's get to Keith. Crossover episode tonight. Fred Katz here with Keith Pompey, Locked On Thunder, Locked On Sixers. The Thunder just crushed the 76ers, 122-97 in Oklahoma City. They really controlled the entire game, up 13 at halftime, 15-2 run to start the third quarter. All the starters pretty much sat the fourth quarter. What's there to take away from this game?
The thing to take away is that the Sixers have a long way to go, and that Russell Westbrook is a beast. I mean, we've been saying that all the while. He just did whatever he wanted to do. I mean, he's the reason, personally, that I think they scored 76 points in the paint. He's the reason why the game was out of hand. And the Sixers have to look at it. You know, the Sixers have good young talent, but they're young. You know, they got out-muscled. They just, like as Dario Saric said, they were in a bar fight, and they faced the toughest guy at the end of the bar, and he destroyed them.
Yeah, so Westbrook tonight did not play the fourth quarter because 35th triple-double of the year. That's six away from Oscar Robertson. 18 points, 11 rebounds, 14 assists. He had 13 assists just in the second and third quarters alone. Really, it was an interesting performance for him. 6-for-6 in the field, 6-for-6 from the line. He's the first player in NBA history to have a triple-double without missing a free throw and without missing a field goal. And he's a guy who's like putting up voluminous amounts of shots. And tonight it was like the third quarter, he took one shot. He had 7 assists. It was like a different styled Russell Westbrook than we've seen this year. I'm wondering from your perspective, kind of an outside perspective. I know Russell Westbrook is kind of the talk of the season for a lot of people, not just in Oklahoma City, but around the league. Where does he stand in the MVP conversation from your perspective?
You know, that's a great question to ask because it's funny because, you look at it, you look at what Oklahoma City is doing, and then you see that what they're around the sixth seed in the West. But then you look at Houston, and then a lot of times you say, okay, I know Westbrook has all these triple doubles. He has 35 now. But then at the same time, you say, well, James Harden's team is a little bit better, so he doesn't have to do as much. So is that going back and forth? Because, you know, when you typically have an MVP, his team is typically a better squad. You know what I mean? Most valuable player because of his squad. But just because, I hate to say it, he's like one of few legitimate, like really good players on his team, to whereas he has to go above and beyond. And some people may say the reason why he's averaging a triple-double is because he has to do that.
Can we infer, can we guess that T.J. McConnell thinks that Russell Westbrook is the MVP after that quote from tonight? I love this quote. T.J. McConnell just came out and flat out said it. Were you there for the McConnell quote?
Yeah.
What was his tone in saying? Because here's the quote on the quote sheet. He averages a triple double for Christ's sake, so it's tough for us to stop him. What was T.J. McConnell's tone in that quote?
I mean, it was kind of like a guy whose team was just destroyed, and someone asked him, "Can you match his intensity? What about his intensity?" And I think he was a little upset with the question, but at the same time, even before the game, on shoot-around, he kept talking about how great Russell Westbrook was and how he averages triple-doubles and stuff like that. But, it was crazy, man. He wasn't in a good mood after the press conference, I'll tell you that.
T.J. McConnell is a pretty intense guy, though, right?
Yeah. He's from Pittsburgh. They're a little intense out there.
So, the Sixers tonight, Sarge didn't do that much tonight. What was he, 12 points on 4 of 14 shooting? He's been really good lately. I also want to know your perspective on, I think the Rookie of the Year race is really interesting this year. Because I think Saric is, I always prescribe, Saric, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So I think Saric is really, I think he's really good, and he's obviously been great the last, you know, month and a half, whatever it's been, where he's averaging about 20 a game. You're there on the inside. Joel Embiid's played 31 games, but 31 games that have been, in terms of just quality per game, so much better than any other rookie in the league. Then you got a guy like Dario, who has been good and has played all the year, but the per game quality is nowhere near Embiid. And I'm wondering where you stand on the Rookie of the Year stuff. Can you justify voting for Embiid for Rookie of the Year?
No, you can't. Excuse me, Embiid is a way better player. Embiid, in my opinion, should have made the All-Star team this year. But the problem is Embiid's only played 31 games. I mean, Dario is the only person on the team who's played in all the games this year. The only one. Another thing is today was Dario's 21st game with scoring 10 or more points. You know, Dario, the thing with him is, you know, he went up against, you know, Taj Gibson, who's, you know, a veteran power forward, and he's strong. He's a strong guy. And I just think that, you know, Dario looked like a rookie. But on most nights, it's like Dario is the guy who leads the Sixers. And it's funny about the Sixers team. We know Embiid is great. You know Dario is a solid player. But it just seems like, you know, this guy, he makes everyone else on the floor better. You know, when Dario is rolling, they have a balanced attack. It's not like the buddy ball type of thing where the point guard and the power forward gets a lot. It's just that Dario, when he's on the top of his game, he makes sure that it's balanced scoring. And then when it's in the clutch, that's when he takes over.
I really like his game.
Oh, I like it a lot.
He's a great passer.
Yeah.
He's got some – I said this on my podcast yesterday, previewing the show. Like, I watch a decent amount of Sixers because I actually – especially when Embiid is around, I think they're really fun. Like, they're really fun to watch, even when they're losing. Like, they have a lot of guys who are fun to watch. I have this weird thing for Robert Covington. I love – I think he's such a good defensive player, and I really like Robert Covington. But Saric has, like – he's not nearly the athlete. But from a skills perspective, passing perspective, I feel like he has a little bit of Blake Griffin in him.
With
the way that he's able to make all of those different types of passes, whether it's on the break, in the half court, cross-court passes, like passes out of pick and roll. Like, he's so good at all that kind of stuff. And at 22 years old, like, what a skill set.
Yeah, you're right. He's Blake Griffin with better all-around offensive skills.
He's a better shooter.
Yeah,
better shooter. Yeah, especially at the age when Blake was 22. I mean, now he's a good shooter, but he couldn't shoot at 22.
Like, if you look at Dario and you say, you look at his size, he has gained 20 pounds since they drafted him, like, a couple years ago because he wanted to bulk up. But if you look at Dario and you see him, you're like, come on, dude, this guy can't play. I mean, you know, the way he walks, like he has a bad back. You know what I mean? This and that. He just goes like this. I mean, he just, you know, he clogs along, so to speak. But he'll surprise you with his athleticism. I mean, he'll come down and he'll make a pass, and you're like, dang, Dario, I didn't know you could do that. You know what I mean? You keep saying that. And everyone always knocks him. Like, they keep saying that Dario Saric is a role player. He's a bench player in this league. Dario Saric, you know, he doesn't play above the rim, so he's not going to excel in this league. Now they're saying, man, how am I going to get Dario Saric and Ben Simmons on the floor at the same time? You know, we have to get Dario on the floor. So, yeah, he's better than people give him credit for, and I do like that comparison. You know, Blake Griffin to Dario. I just think that at this particular time, you know, Dario he's a better shooter than Blake.
Right, and not nearly the athlete. Like, young Blake specifically, like 22, 23, 24-year-old Blake was, like, probably the best athlete of any big man in the league.
Yeah,
best athlete, certainly, of any, like, good big man in the league. Like, there was, like, JaVale and you know, young DeAndre, who's not the player he is now.
But he was jumping over cars, remember?
Oh, young Blake was jumping over everybody. He's like dunks on Perkins and Mozgov and Chris Humphreys. And, I mean, he was dunking on it. His first 2 years in the league, he dunked on it.
Yeah.
He dunked on everybody. I feel like we have to talk about the rebounding for a quick second, too. 54-25. Thunder had grabbed over two-thirds of available rebounds in this game. Mm-hmm. The rebound rate was 68% in this game. It's one of the best, most dominant rebounding performances in a single game for any team this season. Cantor basically said that they out-physicaled them, which I think is the easy answer. But, like, their bigs basically just pushed out all of their guys. The Sixers have a lot of, like, positive rebounders. Guys who try to jump over guys for balls, like Rashawn Holmes tries to jump over guys for balls. I feel like Adams and Cantor were just boxing them all the way out of the paint the whole time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's what Dario said. He felt like we were in a bar fight. I mean, he just felt like, you know, he just said they were just bigger, stronger. And it was and I know it sounds like, okay, when Cantor said it, it's like, come on, dude, it has to be different. But they were. They were just more physical than them. I mean, you look at you know, Jahlil Okafor. You know, he's a big guy, but he's not really – I mean, his body is big, but he's not a guy like a Joel Embiid who's going to grab a lot of rebounds for you, a guy who's going to fight. You know, Ja is more of like a finesse player. Now, he'll get some rebounds. I mean, on this day, he only had two, right? And then you look at a Rashawn Holmes who's undersized at 6'9". You know, he was basically – when he first came into the league – he was known as a power forward, and now he's playing center. And then you have Sean Long, a guy who, you know, the team just recently signed to a 3-year deal. So, but all of them, Sean and Rashawn Holmes and Sean Long, are basically like stretch fours who are playing a five position. So I think it was just a matter of them, like they said, just getting bullied around, like getting moved off the spot. They just couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's the type of team Adams and Cantor can really hurt. Because those guys are big, and they're strong, and they're physical. And, like, the Sixers' bigs, they don't really stretch.
Yeah.
Like, they're undersized, but they're not stretch fives and stretch fours. Like, this isn't like – it's not like they have, like, Anthony Tolliver playing the five. Like, you know, Tolliver went up against them the other day and, like, hurt them because he can go on the outside, and he can shoot some threes, and he can do that kind of stuff. But these guys aren't really going to stretch.
Well, see, that's what I'm looking at it right now. Like, Rashawn Holmes, he's a quality three-point shooter. Sean Long can shoot from the outside. I mean, between the two, they were 0-for-1, you know. And you know, you're looking, and it's like, whoa, what happened to your opportunities? Because these guys typically take advantage of it, and they didn't. I don't know what it was, if it was maybe – You know, they probably felt like, you know, they had to kick, they had to exert so much energy on defense, on offense. It just seems like they probably couldn't get away from guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm looking at it now, and it's kind of like crazy. It's kind of rare. Like, and if you look at it, these two guys didn't really have bad games shooting-wise. You know, Rashawn Holmes was 5-for-8 for 11 points. Sean Long was 4-for-7 with 13 points. But, you know, you can't play against a Cantor. You can't play against a Steven Adams trying to bully those guys or go pound for pound for them on the block. You're going to lose every time.
Mm-hmm. Cantor was especially good in this one, I thought. He was just pulling down. He was pulling down everything, finishing around the rim so well. Thunder had, like, a disproportionately large amount of and-ones in this game where they were just going through contact and finishing around the rim a ton. I think Westbrook had three of them. That's how he got up to 18 on only six shots. But they were just finishing around the rim. Anything else you noticed from here?
You know, the one thing is, the bad thing is, I didn't really see much from Jahlil Okafor today. You know, it was his first game back. He missed the previous game. He set out the second half two games ago, and, you know, he was minus 16. I mean, he had 6 points. Four of those points came in the first, I believe, 5 minutes of the game. You know, then after that, he just looked, you know, like he was just out of shape. You know, I really would like to see him, you know, do more. And again, he only played 16 minutes, 43 seconds because the game was out of hand. But I'm really looking forward to see what he can do against Chicago. He's going home to play the Bulls on Friday. So I really want to see what he can do.
All right. Yeah, that's a good one. Also, I thought Andre Robertson had a really nice defensive game. I know not a lot of major wing threats to guard in this game, but I thought he did a really good job getting in guys' faces. And it's worth noting near the end of the year when Robertson has a strong defensive game, because he is having a case for all defense. And I was excited to watch Robert Covington play defense and stuff. He stuffed Robertson at the rim in that first quarter. He's one of my favorite defenders to watch because he's so big in the shoulders, you know, and he's so good at sticking with guys on the perimeter. He's really good, Covington.
Yeah, he has a 7'6" wingspan.
I didn't realize he had 7'6".
Yeah, he's long.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He's unrestricted this summer, too. Or he's restricted this summer, right?
Yeah, restricted. Take that back. I think it's 7'6". I think it's 7'2". I think it's 7'2".
Yeah. But he's restricted. I wonder what kind of contract he's going to get, because he can play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see. I think a lot of it depends on what the Sixers do, like what they do in a lottery and what they can get in the draft. You know, I think that it will depend on that. And I do believe that he'll get a raise. But if you, let's just say, if you can get like a Tatum out of Duke, or you could get like one of these young guys, these young wings, you know, you'll say to yourself, like, I want to play this guy. You know, I want to use this guy. And then Robert Covington, you know, he could become a little bit expendable. You know, I mean, that's the problem. Now, again, he is a quality defender. I mean, you're talking about Robertson as a defender. You know, Covington is a solid one as well. And I think he brings a lot to this team. You know, when he first joined the Sixers, he was just jacking threes left and right. I mean, it was like, yo, don't take that. Oh, come on, man. And, like, after a while, he would make a couple, and people were like, whoa, good one, good. But it's like times, man, when he struggled, and he would miss like his first 8 threes, and he's still out there jacking, you know. But then now it's one of those things where, you know, he bought into what Brett Brown says about a 3-and-D. Like, yes, I'm gonna let you shoot your threes, but you need to defend. And now he typically defends the other team's best perimeter player. Now, he wasn't really on Westbrook a lot tonight, but he's typically on the other team's best perimeter player.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see what this summer is going to be like for him and for Robertson, because Covington's obviously a better offensive player than Robertson because he shoots threes pretty well. But those two guys hitting the open market is going to be a nice test to see how people value wing defense and restricted free agents this summer, because they're they have a lot of overlapping similarities. Anything to plug before we go? Writing, Twitter?
Nah, I'm fine. What about you?
Podcast tomorrow, like usual. I'm at Fred Katz on Twitter. What's your Twitter again?
Pompey on Sixers.
Pompey on Sixers, and I'm at Fred Katz, and that's about it. I'll be back tomorrow. I assume you'll be back tomorrow also.
Mm-hmm. Be back tomorrow.
The beauty of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Every single day, it's amazing that people haven't gotten sick of us yet. All right, well, we'll see you tomorrow then.